Two things in life I know: music and coffee beans.
Hey up, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 421, the 421st edition here in the Caffeination Podcast's long and rather interesting past. We are hoping that you're going to enjoy this show as much as I'm enjoying taping it, so hopefully when you listen, everything goes correctly. We're trying to do this episode on the heels of an absolutely wonderful weekend, orchestrated by an incredibly devious wife. This is the Caffeination Surprise edition here. You can color me surprised as much as I was on Saturday night when my wife sprung a surprise birthday party on me. Yes, all the family and a ton of my friends were in attendance in a surprise 30th birthday party for me. So for those of you who did not know how old I was, now you know how old I am, or will be. My actual birthday is on the 18th, but the devious little trickster that is my wife had me quite irritated going to a family party, and yeah. So it was a wonderful time had by all. Thank you to everybody and anybody who attended. And yeah, it's been kind of a crazy weekend. It didn't start out this way. It started out, relatively interesting weekend. There was one family party we had to go to on Saturday. Didn't know it was mine. And then we were going to the Cherry Blossom Festival. Yes, we actually ended going to the Sakura Sunday event here in Philadelphia, and we did that today. So I'm slightly roasted, much like a coffee bean, except a little bit red instead of the lovely brown or medium tan. It's the first long-term sun exposure for this little geek in the spring this year, so it is to be expected. Just a tinge of red, it'll be gone by morning, I swear. So we are having a relatively interestingly untechnified weekend. However, the droid, my smartphone ended up playing a large part in a couple of the different things that we were doing this past weekend. So it was kind of fun to have that kind of tech at my beck and call, as the case may be. But we had a lot of really cool times, and thank you again to my wonderful wife. But this is, and everybody else who helped her to create this great surprise. So we have a wonderful little episode for you here today. It's kind of colored by the fact that I didn't really get to do a lot of research or anything. Like I said, I was unplugged. But we found a good amount of awesome little bits of technology to talk about. And as well, we also have a decent amount of food and caffeinated bits to wind up. A couple little comment-laden streams running throughout. So I already read through everything, have a general idea. General idea of exactly what everything's going to go for. So without much further ado, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the different things that go into creating the Caffeination. The Caffeination, as of course I'm sure you know, is lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. We're recording from the Caffeination layer in slightly new configuration, so everything's a little bit out of sorts, and we're still trying to work on a couple of the recording intrinsics here. However, we will be having a return of the live show this Wednesday, which will be Wednesday the 14th of April, the day before tax day, so you can end up coming in here. You can enjoy the wonderful Caffeination Live at 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to come on over here, enjoy what we got going for you, share a cup of coffee, enjoy a couple laughs, and just go to live.caffeination.com. No www, just live, L-I-V-E, .caffeination.com, or live, depending on how you pronounce it. So there's that. The Caffeination is a wonderful part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and edumacational podcasting, and it is all lovingly hosted over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. And we are a proud Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. All right, we have a ton of stuff to talk to you about. I did want to make mention of the fact that the Caffeination Caffeination is proudly sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. In this challenging economy, companies of all different sizes need to find new ways to cut costs. Every dollar saved helps the bottom line exponentially. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting. Its award-winning service, which is brought to you by Citrix, lets you meet online right from the comfort of your very own computer. Stop wasting time and money traveling. You can meet clients and colleagues online instead of driving or flying to their office across the country or across town. It allows you to collaborate in real time. You too can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool fun things, like bring you the awesome content that we're attempting to here. So yeah, the stories have kind of piled up fast and furious here, so we're going to just dive right on in a rather uncharacteristic episode of the Caffeination. I'm not really sure how this one's going to work out. Usually I have everything lined up. There's an interesting theme running through it. There's a theme, it's just I'm not sure if I want to I wanted to follow it down, but it's a slightly interesting theme to talk about. To say, let's put it this way. In order to be part of the Tech Podcast Network, you have to agree to certain content guidelines, one of which being child safe, family friendly. So every once in a while, there comes a story down the pipeline, which is slightly a little bit more risque than the standard stories talked about here in the Caffeination Podcast. So we like to talk about them in very guarded language, slightly euphemistically, so hopefully you will get my drift as we go along. It's not every story, it's only two of them nestled deep in the middle of the podcast, but you know, I just wanted to kind of make that you aware. It's kind of one of the things that we do. There's very little tech that ever comes out that needs to be talked about in this manner, but hey, you know, every once in a while it's kind of fun to play around with it. Alright, the first little thing that we got up for you here is a wireless brick mouse from over at 7gadgets.com. I've seen a lot of different Lego brick mouses. This is the 2x4 brick. It's a lovely blue one that they have up there. This one apparently is only available in the United Kingdom. It's where it's 20 pounds, so that's something like $700. No, it's actually more along the lines of $26 or $28, I think. They have blue, red, and white. So red, white, and blue only available in the UK. Go figure. I think that's the same color as the flag over there. So yeah. They didn't sneak another color in. So, but I kind of think that they're missing a large part of the constituency in regards to Legos, because you could build your own little Lego fort if you just had the yellow bricks. Because I think the yellow bricks along with the green base plate and were kind of iconic at that point. You know, I don't see very many white Lego bricks. So it's interesting to see. And the next little story that we got up for you here is actually two photos from a Flickr photo set that I actually took. The Philadelphia Zoo, in celebrating its 150th year, which we are a member, my wife and I, that was actually our first date, was to go to the Philadelphia Zoo back when my parents were members, and you could just hand your card off to absolutely anybody. I was the child, I was taking her as a guest, so it was all up and legit. But now, you know, we are members, we have been members since we were actually dating, not even engaged. It's kind of a fun little pastime, and in more than two visits, it actually pays for itself, so it kind of works out. Especially when you have a little kid, you get to walk in there and say, all right, what animals do you want to see today? And just head right there, because you don't have to worry about hitting everyone every time. Well, the Philadelphia Zoo, in an effort to get more people interested in conservancy, they've actually decided to create different Lego sculptures hosted all over the zoo. When we actually went earlier this month, unfortunately, they didn't have all of them unveiled. There's actually a 4-foot tall Lego polar bear that was covered up that I could not see. It's entirely done with tiny little Lego blocks. The two photos that I actually had that looked good were the photos of the Lego Gibbons and the Lego Turtles. So if you're interested in those, you can head on over to my Flickr photo set and see them. And rest assured, within the next 2 weeks, we're actually going to be heading back to the zoo with a couple of our friends, including my Lego fanatic friend James and Dave to Lego fanatic. Friends James and Dave, in the hopes to capture all of the wonderful Lego goodness that is there on film. So it's going to be kind of fun to sit there and showcase everybody else the wonder that is the Philadelphia Zoo. So phillyzoo.org to find out more information about that. Next little thing that we have up for you here is water till the squirrels show up. This is a kind of a fun little thing. It's $30 for a pot. I'm not entirely sure that I would do this. However, if I was trying to teach my son how to properly take care of plants, I think this is the perfect way to do it. Imagine kind of a reverse tea kettle. Basically, the water is supposed to go into the spout, and then there's a tiny little view window where there's a ceramic squirrel that pops up. And the water level is showcased because basically the squirrel is a bobber. And it's really cool. It's a beautiful little curved ceramic design. It's designed to have a certain kind of plant in it. Not, you know, saying like a different varietal or anything, but rather saying that, you know, you can't have a plant that needs a rather arid lifestyle to be in here. I don't think this is for your standard cacti or other succulents that are out there. There's probably some kind of fern. They show it with a snake leaf plant in there. So it's relatively a benign house plant. But the idea is that it actually, you water from the bottom so that the soil up at the top actually through capillary action, pull the water up. But the cool part about it is the fact that as you water it, you can see where the squirrel is and you can see how much water you actually have left in the tank. I love this idea. For $30, I'm really trying to justify it because I think it's actually really kind of awesome. Next little thing we have up for you here is a wonderful story from over at SpriteStitch.com. It's called The Power-Ups of Mario Cross Stitch. This is a journey back through pretty much every Mario Brothers that you can possibly imagine. The Hall of Fame Mario power-ups. If there's a power-up that you can imagine and a state in which he experienced it, then it's probably there. Everything from my absolute favorite Tanuki Suit Mario to the shoe from Super Mario Bros. 3 to all of the different fun ones that in the classic games. I don't think they've actually moved up to have the ice suit. And you know, I gotta say, from the new Mario Bros. That's actually on the Wii, the one where you can play 4-player co-op, which is actually kind of insane, I'm actually a little disappointed that it took the fine folks at Nintendo this long to design a ice-throwing Mario. I mean, they've had the Fire Flower since basically the first Super Mario Brothers, so I can't imagine why it took them this long. Hey, you know what? What's the opposite of fire? Ice. You know, they had all other kinds of crazy stuff, like a frog suit and a raccoon suit that turned into a statue before they actually hit on the ice one. So it's interesting to see. So you can head on over there. They have pretty much everything all done in cross-stitch glory. Next little thing that we got for you here is one of the slightly flagged articles here. It's a little not safe work, depending on which work you enjoy, but it's a company that specializes in making retro arcade fashion. Now, these are cover-ups for the people who dance on poles, shall we just say. They're basically pasties. That's exactly what they are. They are done in different video game-inspired styles, and there's so many different double entendres you could put in there that I'm just going to let you make your own. The two that they have showcased, which I actually think are relatively funny, are one's a Pac-Man and a ghost, which I believe is actually Inky or Blinky. I'm not entirely sure. And then the other one is two little one-up mushrooms. Regular power mushrooms. So there you go. And they actually have a picture of a lady laying down with the little Pac-Man arcade thing, showcasing two of the two of the cover-ups. So I thought that was pretty funny and wanted to pass it along. It was one of those things, like, I have such a deep-seated love for Pac-Man. I'm actually really bad at the game. I love Pac-Man. I love everything it represents and the slice of nerd culture that it showcases. But I'm so bad at the game that I can't really say that, yes, you know, Pac-Man is the end-all and be-all. I'm much, much better at Mario Brothers, specifically my favorite being Super Mario Brothers 3, which is why it's showcased in the actual beginning to the Caffeination and has been since time immemorial. But the next little thing that we got up for you here is actually a Star Wars pinup / propaganda girl thing. The way I described it is from fashion ads, the Red Light District has hit Star Wars recruitment posters. So take the idea of a standard Second World War, you know, Uncle Sam pointing at you, needs you kind of recruitment posters, and transpose that with the pinups of that time and somehow work in a little stormtrooper magic, and there you go. Imagine all different kinds of ladies proposing that you work for the new clone army. The odd thing here is, if you really think about it, they were clones. They really didn't have to be recruited. They were kind of built for it. So I it was one of those things where I absolutely had to showcase it because it is really beautiful in how seamlessly it was done. So just wanted to show you there. Next little thing that we got up for you here is cheap 3D thrills. Now, these are entirely safe for work, just in case you were wondering about the past stuff, a couple things that we have for you here. But this is an easy way to trick your eyes into actually creating 3D pictures. It's basically kind of like a throwback to the old Magic Eye posters that were out there, the different stereograms that were up. But this, you know, you allow your eyes to unfocus on these set of dual images that are on your screen, incredibly high resolution dual images. And if you do it correctly, you can actually see the image lift off the page, and you can rotate your head back and forth if you're able to unfocus your eyes like that. There's an entire gallery full of these things over at device.com, so I wanted to showcase that and shoot you on over in case you were interested in that. I am very bad at being able to unfocus my eyes. I can only do it to a certain extent. I can almost get them to snap together and actually create one image, but it's like one image, and then I lose it as soon as I start to try and overthink it. So maybe you're a little bit better off than I am. Next little thing that we got up for you here, something for the designer in your lifestyle. This is color-coded socks, but not just any color. These are Pantone color-coded socks. So I actually thought that was incredibly awesome. There's a... There's an entire gallery full of these things, and each one is basically matched up to a Pantone clip or a Pantone tile sheet that has the sock in that exact color. Now, the funny thing about this is, why did they stop at socks? Why did not they have Pantone pants, shorts, shirts? Everything should be Pantone so that you can actually work with something like one of my favorite books, the Color Index, and you can actually make a complete matching wardrobe in a certain style without having to think, because you know that, you know, the sock, for instance, is, you know, Pantone 201, which is the Temple Red, official Temple Red. So I just thought that was pretty funny, and again, wanted to pass it along. Next little thing we got for you here is a lovely little bit of 8-bit madness. It's actually a stop-motion animation done entirely with pearlers. Now, these are pearler beads that are not like the ones that you actually melt into place, but these are just basically set on pegs, so you can actually motion them and, move them in. This is from over at geekalohi.com. They have a wonderful link to this. This encompasses Super Mario from what I believe is the third installment of the Super Mario Brothers, because of the inclusion of the raccoon tail, and actually also showcases Mega Man, who is another one of my old favorite cartoon or video game characters, and Link. I was a fan of the Zelda games, but I never really got into it. For somebody who's really like crazy into Zelda games, you have to go to my brother-in-law Steve. He's like probably the tops of my list for people who would end up getting a Triforce tattooed on them somewhere. But yeah, it's kind of awesome to see exactly all the different little things that the gentleman who created this worked in. It's just insane. So his name is Eric Odermer, and he did an unbelievable job. Now, the next little thing is actually sent to me by one of my friends from work. Bob sent me in a beautiful... I've showed this to a bunch of the geeky friends that I have, and everybody has basically just jaw-dropped, unbelievably astounded kind of crossover animation work. It's called Pixel, and it is actually a piece of animation from Patrick Jean, and it is unbelievable in its subtlety and its reach. Everything that you can possibly imagine from the early days of video games. I mean, from Pac-Man to Breakout to Tetris to Donkey Kong. I mean, this goes, you know, way back to the origins. And it showcases asteroids. Aliens. Space Invaders, that's what it is, not Asteroids. Asteroids is actually one that they probably could have worked in, but maybe I just didn't see it in there. But it's beautiful in how they all worked it in. It's basically 8-bit video games attacking New York City. Between the Pearler Bead one and this one, you really need to head on over there and watch these two. These are absolutely stunning. All right, now again, going back to our designer-friendly people here on the podcast, the Chromatic Pencil Bowl is an interesting little piece of crossover tech. It's one of those things I probably could have put in the food cruft, the edible stuff that we got coming up, but I would think that this is much more of a design piece and much less of a bowl. So it's basically a pencil holder where the pencils are actually spokes that go in a nice wide bowl shape so that you can actually have them and pull them out as you need them. It's kind of a way of crossing over between a home office and something where you store your apples. So I thought it was kind of awesome, and the fact that you could pretty much put whatever you wanted in there, and they did it with colored pencils. I think it would be kind of fun to give to a teacher and put like number two pencils all the way around. You know, you can fill it with apples. I mean, I think that would be like an unbelievable statement gift. And you could have them unsharpened, sharpened, whatever. But I think the colored pencil one is definitely a interesting showcase piece. But you know, you can only go so far with that. All right, now the next little thing up here, the fail award of the week goes to Sony. This is Dirty Pool, plain and simple. Sony has a new product out there called the Sound Mug. This is a mug-shaped device which is capable of producing sound in larger and louder qualities and quantities by becoming an amplification device. Some of you mere mortals might call them speakers for whatever MP3 player you would decide to put in there. It fits into all standard mug containers. The only problem with it is it doesn't hold any coffee. Even holding a half of the amount of coffee would have been an absolute win for this device, because it could have been a dual-purpose thing. It would sit in your car, and you know what, if you took it to the office, you could actually plug an iPod into it, or a Sony Walkman, as the case may be here. And it would have been perfect, because you could have had, you know, like half a thermos full of coffee, and it would have been wonderful. But no, everything's full of electronics. There's no thought put into any other kind of dual-purpose. So, you know, Sony, it's just a tease at this point. I don't even care how much it is. I think it's pretty ridiculous. Alright, that about wraps it up, except for my one thing. I would like to propose a change to the way comic book movies are made. Comic book movies are fantastic. From The Watchmen to Spider-Man to Batman, and you know, there have been so many good ones, and there have been so many very, very bad ones. However, there's movies that are coming out that just, like, people keep saying, oh yes, this is a comic book movie, this is an adaptation. I consider myself a fairly knowledgeable geek. I think if more than four nerds from different backgrounds are in a room and they've never heard of the comic book that you're basing the movie off of, it's probably not going to be a good idea to consider the amount of cachet that a comic book movie supposedly would be willing to pull in. I think you might need to reclassify it and say, you know what, it's kind of a script based on other work. It's no longer a popular comic book that you're trying to... You're not doing a Spider-Man or a Batman at that point in time. You're not even doing a Superman. You're not even, you know, reaching down nice and low to do a Daredevil comic book movie. No, you're pretty much going into the refuse bin trying to find something easy and cheap to license, and hopefully everybody will kind of digest it. So I'm getting a little tired of it. That's my 2 cents for that little section there. Alright, moving right on into the food and caffeinated bits, one of my absolute favorite sections, being that there's only two of them, they're both kind of my favorite. Good coffee for an awesome party. My wife, it's kind of funny how many different things you pick up on, and it's always interesting to think of the... My wife does not drink coffee. She despises coffee. But she thought so much of me as to actually procure one of my favorite kinds of coffee for my party. So she went out and got a massive tub of Chock Full of Nuts coffee, which I happen to hold up in very high regard, along with a lot of the other different cups of coffee out there. I have no clue why, but the Chock Full of Nuts stuff has always stood above and beyond any other kind of coffee that you get out of the supermarket. I just love the way it tastes. I think it's incredibly smooth. It's an incredibly well-balanced coffee at all points and times. So I now have a metric ton of Chock Full of Nuts coffee, which I'm kind of torn on whether or not I'm going to take it into the office or whether or not it's going to fuel the caffeination layer in the coffee pot that's down in there. So... All right, so thank you again for that, because it's funny when they pick up on the little things, you know? All right, next little bit of information, coffee infertility. Now, apparently there was a study sanctioned on whether or not larger inclusions of caffeine in the diet, somewhere up around 800 milligrams a day, would actually affect the sperm count of the different people that were actually drinking it. And there were two different groups, one of them drinking coffee and tea. 800 milligrams of coffee or tea, depending on the coffee you're drinking, could be anywhere from... four or five cups to, you know, eight cups or something like that, depending on how watered down the coffee, depending on the overall caffeine quality of it. Since, you know, the actual caffeine content of a cup of coffee can go anywhere from, you know, 110 milligrams of caffeine all the way up to 180, depending on the strength of the coffee and the roast and all of that other stuff that's thrown in there. It's kind of a large, wide gamut. So, you know, let's just say, you know, between four and five cups of coffee and you're pretty much covered. And between seven and eight cups of tea and you're pretty much covered, because teas are roughly, you know, like 3/4 of the cup of coffee there. There was no effect on the fertility rate of men who were in the coffee and tea category. However, there was a 30% drop in sperm count for people who were drinking massive amounts of cola. And so this kind of links up to the energy drink studies which have previously been done. So it's something kind of interesting to consider. And if you're in the market for a new child or something like that, and you're a heavy drinker on the cola and you've been having issues, you might want to switch over to coffee. I personally like coffee because I like it without any sugar or any other kind of additives in there. So it's a no decision here in the caffeination layer, but it's something I just want to kind of make you aware of. I know the information's been floating out there and around and all over recently, so I want to kind of give you my take on what's been put forth so far and see what you thought about it. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here, chef soap. Now, I was unaware that chefs had to have special soap. I did know, and I don't know if this is actually considered antibacterial, but I do know that if you're working with garlic or fish or something like that, even after you wash your hands with regular hand soap, the smell tends to linger, no matter how much you actually wash your hands. I know from fishing and from, you know, cleaning fish and everything like that, the easiest way to get that smell out is actually lemon juice. In the same way with, you know, or you can use tomato juice for some of the other ones. But then again, you know, you're wasting very valuable and very tasty juices. So enter the chef soap. What it is actually a stainless steel disc which lasts forever. And it's roughly $17 for this stainless steel disc. And what you're supposed to do is actually rub it vigorously in your hands under running water, and somehow it removes the smell from your hands. Now, I'm curious exactly how this works. I have no clue how it works. It probably has something to do with the capacitive qualities of the stainless steel. Maybe the tiny little ridges or something. I don't know. But they say it never wears out. So it's something that if you work a lot with fish or garlic or whatever else and you have that problem of the hands that just can't get clean, then this might be something you might want to look into. I always, you know, just go back for a second scrub personally, because I don't need to spend $17 on a bar of soap, but that's just me. All right, now the next little thing that we got up for you here is the Sunbeam Designer Kettle Glass, the Sunbeam Designer Series Glass Kettle. Now, it's pretty interesting whenever the stuff over at Yanko Design actually shows up, because, you know, you have a half-decent chance of ending up in the Yanko Design store. I, however, do not think I will ever be in the market for a designer kettle. I just, you know, when you have kids running around, or, you know, kid now, kids soon, it just doesn't seem to be a good purchase. But I'm always stunned by the beauty of the industrial design that goes into making these particular kettles, and I want to share it with the group. Next little thing we have up for here, something that I actually could see buying. It's called the Cumulus, the Tang Tea and More on the Go. Basically, it is a thermos. It's a cross between a tea infuser and a thermos. So imagine if the tea infuser had the infused qualities actually housed in the lid, and you could screw it onto a water bottle of some sort, and all of a sudden the drink mix, you know, just by hitting one button would actually be dispensed into your tea. It works somewhere along the lines of a cross between a Keurig machine or a K-cup, any of the K-cup machines in the single serving variety, and Crystal Light single serving packets. So I personally would love if there was a way to just kind of have an infusion device where it would actually, you know, sink down in there and allow you to do that. This seems interesting. It could definitely be something I would consider buying, especially because the wife really likes Crystal Light. Yeah, this could definitely be something that would end up in her stocking one year, but I think it's kind of awesome to see this kind of stuff. So I just wanted to pass it along. Next little thing we got up for you here, we are doing really good time here today. I'm probably going to blow something up along the way, is where do your coffee grounds end up? Mike Crimmins from over at the Daily Shot of Coffee.com. I had a little poll up there. It's now closed. Unfortunately, I didn't get to it in time. However, I would like to kind of throw my hat in the ring. The idea behind this is that in preparation for Earth Day, people are kind of trying to pull out all the stops in regards to the different things they do for the love of the planet. And one of them, of course, being recycle and compost other things like coffee grounds. So it's kind of interesting to see what people actually do. Do they actually compost them or do they throw them in the trash? We kind of do a little bit of a mix here. In the office where there is no easily disposable area for the coffee grounds, 90% of the time I actually put them in an old can of coffee and, you know, end up taking them home and mixing them into the garden or the compost pile. Straight into the garden, sprinkling them on top. You know, depending on what happens at any given point in time, I also throw the coffee filter in there. At home, I don't end up using coffee filters nearly as much, and the pucks from the espresso machine always go down the garbage disposal. Unless I'm in dire need of fertilizer or I want to kind of make sure that the flowers that come out of the hydrangea are the correct color, and you can affect that by actually changing the pH balance of the soil. And while coffee grounds are not nearly as acidic, used coffee grounds rather, are not nearly as acidic as the plain coffee grounds, it's kind of interesting to see the different changes. I forget which acidic or basic on the soil end actually creates the different flowers in the hydrangea, but I always milk my lawn lovingly with the used coffee grounds. So I was just curious what everybody else out there did. I've seen more and more people kind of saving them, and we kind of need to get a compost bucket back in upstairs because, I do a lot of composting in the backyard, but you can only take it so far, and you still have to do the collection up in the kitchen, so it's kind of hard to work that out at this point. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is cool beans, at least in the ice cube variety. If you would like to eliminate watered-down coffee, then you can actually buy these coffee bean-shaped ice cube holders. These are basically the silicone ice cube trays that you've seen in every other imaginable shape so far, except they're enticing you to pour actual coffee into these things to create coffee ice cubes for your iced coffee. Now, I like this idea. I don't happen to mind the watered down iced coffee. I'm a purist. I like just straight iced coffee, no milk, no other junk in them. So, however, I also use cold brewed coffee to actually make my iced coffee, so it tends to be a little bit stronger. So, the cold brewed coffee made through the Ronco cold brew system is actually really, really good when you pour it over ice, because it waters it down just enough to kind of make it nice and smooth it out, any kind of tart aftertaste or anything like that. So if you are in the market for the cool beans kind of thing, it's only $7.99, so it's relatively inexpensive, and you get the holes for 8 coffee bean shaped ice cubes. So I thought that was pretty interesting and wanted to pass it along. Next little thing, this one has been passed around left, right, and center. This is, can coffee lead to food addiction? Now, this is two very interesting studies that have kind of layered on top of each other, and it basically links any kind of addictive food, and they lumped coffee in with junk food and other things, and they said when they were given to rats over the course of their lives and then they were taken away, the rats would refuse to eat rather than eat the healthy options. And now they're trying to make everything an addiction. And this is going on beyond other stuff. So I would entice you to actually read the entire study before you come to the damning evidence. And yes, there's already so many articles out there about how to quit coffee because coffee is an addiction. You know what? Certain people just have addictive personalities. It doesn't matter if it's cigarettes, if it's drugs, if it's coffee, if it's whatever. They are an addictive type person. They rely on certain things to actually get through the day. So if it's coffee, is it any better than cigarettes? So you see people at Alcoholics Anonymous, in all the movies or wherever, chugging cups of coffee. Are they replacing one addiction for another? Is one just a little bit less harmful than another? So in one way, you could say, yes, it's kind of a crutch that people lean on. And the other way, it just might be a way to add a social aspect that's not otherwise there. Because, coffee is a social beverage similar to alcohol, so it's possible that the actual sharing of the drinks and passing around the coffee and having one common bond to link everybody together, it is another thing that can go one step further to actually healing the rift caused by certain types of alcohol abuse. I mean, that could just be one thing, but I'm spitballing here. Who knows? It's interesting to see the length and the breadth of things that are identified as addiction in these days. So I'm interested to see what other people have to say on that. And then the last little item that we got for you here, and something you could probably use to prove as to whether or not I am an actually addicted person into coffee, except for the fact that the past couple days I haven't had my first cup until like around noon, which is really rare for me. How to get yourself killed on April Fool's Day. Next year, if somebody attempts to mess with my coffee by way of switching it to decaf or anything else, you will find out a very easy way of getting damaged. People over at about.com thought it was really good to put out different things on April Fool's Day that you could do to people's coffee. For instance, switching salt with sugar. That is responsible for my absolute worst cup of coffee ever when I accidentally did that to myself. They're both white powder. I poured one in and it apparently was the very wrong choice. There's also novel teas that are out there so that you can actually use to kind of change the way things taste. But you know what? I'm just not up or down with messing with people's coffee. I did, however, have a sign in the English office that I worked in high school that says, we recently switched dilithium crystals in the Starship Enterprise with Folgers crystals. Let's see if they notice. It was kind of like a throwback to the Folgers commercials of the mid to late 90s of the switching the Folgers crystals. You know what? I'd be able to tell. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast, episode number 421. And if you're reading the show notes, there's probably one thing that you may see missing. Well, the Caffeination is now available on many different channels, and one of which being the Boxy and Roku applications. The Boxy application can be installed on Windows, Mac, or Linux, which I actually have it installed here in the basement, and the Roku is actually a box that you buy that allows you to take streaming media from off the web and play it on your TV. So the Caffeination is available through the Tech Podcasts application on the Boxy thing, and the Roku has the Blueberry Podcast channel in there. So all of it is really cool stuff. It's interesting to see the different stuff that Raw Voice is coming out with. It's one of the parent company of both the Tech Podcast and the Blueberry Podcast community, as well as so much other things that are out there. They're also the people who do the PowerPress plugin, which the podcast that you're listening to is currently powered by. So they're good people, and they have some interesting ideas, and it's interesting to see how far things are going there. So we're going to be writing an article in the next couple of days talking about the different pieces of the application and what I think of it. So, hey, always interested to see what everybody else thinks. If you happen to have a Boxy account or a Roku box in your house and you're looking to experience the wonder that is the Caffeination on your TV, just let me know how the experience is. I'm always interested. All right, thank you ever so much. This is roughly right around the size that I thought this would be. But thank you ever so much for actually coming with us and enjoying today's podcast. Today's episode was number 421. And as always, this podcast can be found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. You can email me comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over at caffeination@gmail.com. You can dial 215-240-139 for a direct-to-voicemail comment section. We have a Facebook fan page, twitter.com/caffeination, and all of the other information is lovingly nestled over at the homepage, caffeination.com. Remember, live.caffeination.com, 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at this point in time, standard, you know, whatever, the flavor of the month for the time schedule, but 11 p.m. on Wednesdays unless otherwise notified. We are back, so it's going to be interesting to see exactly what goes on. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.